Kevin Harris in the studio with Dr. William Lane Craig. Boy, do we get some doozy questions. I'm not sure what a doozy is, but we get them. This question comes from someone who's read the new book from Oriol Bungan, Matter and Mind, A Philosophical Investigation. Dr. Craig?
Oh, yes. He's a very well-known naturalistic philosopher and a philosopher of science.
What he argues for is the existence of physical, spatial and temporal, infinites, and the fact that naturalism, if true, implies that the universe is eternal. He writes, "One such universal feature is that all physical quantities, with the possible exception of some properties of the universe as a whole, are finite. Consequently, any theory including infinities, singularities, divergences, and all that, must be false. The ban on physical infinities may have two exceptions, the size and age of the universe. Indeed, at the time of writing, we do not yet know whether the universe is spatially finite or infinite, and there is no compelling argument for a beginning of time. Philosophy cannot help but the question of spatial infinity, but it is not indifferent to the question of temporal origin. Any naturalistic ontology will demand that the universe has always existed." Well, we can stop right there and say that, yeah, there are plenty of good arguments for the beginning of time.
Well, I think this is a very interesting statement by Bunga. He says that any naturalistic ontology entails that the universe is eternal in the past. Therefore, if the evidence suggests that the universe is not eternal in the past, that means that the evidence is against naturalism. Mm-hmm. So he has really put his naturalism on the line here. He is unwilling to accommodate the finitude of the past. He says naturalism entails an eternal universe. And that leads right into an argument. The universe is not eternal, therefore naturalism is not true. Mm-hmm. So this is a very interesting and bold position that he's advocating.
Regarding the Big Bang, Mungat writes, "What about the Big Bang, which is usually supposed to have occurred between 10 and 20 billion years ago? At present, there are at least three possible answers to this question. Number one, the Big Bang happened, and it was God's creation out of nothing. This answer is obviously unacceptable to any physical cosmology, for it invokes the supernatural and violates Lucretius' ex nihilo nihil principle."
All right, notice his response to the theological option. It's good that he at least recognizes this as an option, that God has created the universe and that the universe did have a beginning. That would be the option I prefer, in fact. What is his refutation of it? It's inconsistent with naturalism. He says if you're a physicalist, then you can't believe in this. Right, right. But that's no reason not to think the view is true. So that is really, I think, just a question-begging rejection of the theological alternative. Now, he does add that this is inconsistent with Lucretius' principle that out of nothing, nothing comes. And I think that's clearly mistaken, because on the theistic view, the universe doesn't come into being out of nothing in the sense that it has no cause. Rather, it comes into being because it has an efficient cause. God created the universe, and therefore it is not a violation of Lucretius' principle that out of nothing, nothing comes. We agree with that as theists, mm-hmm. that things don't just pop into being uncaused out of nothing. What the theist maintains in the case of the universe is that although the universe lacked a material cause, it did have an efficient cause. That is to say, it had a productive cause which brought the matter and energy into being. And therefore, it is in no sense a violation of Lucretius' principle. So his arguments against the theological answer to his question are, in the first place, question-begging, and in the second place, misconceived.
Yeah, it's just odd because we can't allow a divine foot in the door.
Right.
He says the second possibility when it comes to the Big Bang is that the Big Bang is only a simplistic interpretation of the singularity occurring in the simplest of all cosmological models. This model assumes that the universe is the maximal balloon and that there is a cosmic time in addition to the uncounted local times attached to all the possible reference frame. Even admitting this model does not force us to interpret the time at which the radius of the universe was nil as the origin of the universe. Have to unpack that for us a little bit.
All right. This is, again, I think, a rather desperate attempt to refute the idea that time in the universe had a beginning, at least in the standard model. He says, How do we know, in addition to all the local reference frames that the special theory of relativity imagines, there is a kind of universal cosmic time that measures the duration of the universe? Well, that emerges in the context of the general theory of relativity. When it is applied to the universe as a whole, there does emerge a cosmic time which measures the proper time of the duration of the universe. And when cosmologists say that the universe originated 13.7 billion years ago, they are referring to this cosmic time, which is the same for every local observer in the universe and measures the duration of the universe as a whole. And it's true that this was a feature of the simplest models developed originally by Friedmann and Lemaître, in which they assumed that the universe is homogeneous and what's called isotropic, the same in every direction and is expanding in this way. And the discoveries since those theories were first broached in the 1920s have revealed that the universe on large scales is far more homogeneous and isotropic than early theorists ever could have imagined. The microwave background radiation that permeates the universe is isotropic to down to one part out of 100,000. It is amazingly uniform. So the idea that there is this cosmic time that measures the duration of the universe is very well established and therefore gives us quite good grounds for thinking that the universe is about 13.7 billion years old. As for Levi LeBlanc's article, which was published 20 years ago in 1990, I actually responded to that at the time. All Levi LeBlanc does is try to push back the origin of the universe to past infinity by fiddling with the metric of time so that it is, as it were, to put it in layman's terms, he takes the Big Bang singularity and he just stretches it out so that the beginning of the universe occurs infinitely long ago. But what Levi LeBlanc doesn't do is get rid of the beginning of the universe. He just has it be infinitely distant in the past. But on his view, the universe still began to exist. So he doesn't avoid the beginning of the universe, in fact, at all. So that second alternative that Bunge suggests is unsuccessful. Now, having said that, I would readily agree that the standard model is oversimplified and that it will be modified and in all probability is going to be affected by the development of some sort of quantum theory of gravity. But that gives no reason to think that the absolute beginning of the universe that's predicted by the standard model is going to be removed by these new quantum gravity models. The origin of the universe may be non-singular, as it is in the Hartle-Hawking no-boundary proposal. So the presence of the singularity, which is a feature of the standard model, is not a necessary condition of the universe's having begun to exist.
And when you say that the universe is very isotropic, it is expanding in a very even way rather than real haphazard or jaggedly.
Exactly. There is a division of space-time. You can slice up four-dimensional space-time in such a way that this expansion proceeds smoothly and uniformly and yields this cosmic time, which measures the duration of the universe. And that emerges in the context of the general theory of relativity and the application of relativity to the cosmos as a whole.
The third possible answer to the Big Bang, according to Bunge, is that the Big Bang did happen, but it was only the sudden and worldwide expansion of the universe that existed earlier in a state about which we know nothing. Nor will we ever discover anything about the pre-Big Bang universe because the explosion destroyed the records. One possibility is that the event consisted in the sudden emergence of ordinary matter, electrons, protons, etc., photons, out of the pre-existing electrodynamic vacuum or space filled with virtual particles. But given the scarcity of astronomical data and the unrestrained fantasy of cosmologists, I suggest suspending judgment until more realistic cosmological models are crafted. In any event, we should heed Tolman's warning at the end of his massive treatise. We must be specifically careful to keep our judgments uninfected by the demands of theology and unswerved by human hopes and fears. The discovery of models, which start expansion from a singular state of zero volume, must not be confused with the proof that the actual universe was created at a finite time in the past. Now, that was written in, like, 1934.
Yeah. Here, I think, again, you see the defensiveness. You can tell that these folks are on the defense. We mustn't yield to theology. We mustn't allow that to encroach here. Clearly, I think naturalists are feeling the pressure. And you remember, the only reason he had for rejecting the theological alternative was because it's non-naturalistic. No naturalist could accept it. In effect, in this third alternative, he really abandons any confidence that naturalism is true. It just is agnosticism. He just wants to say, we don't know. And that is to abandon any confidence then that the naturalistic view is true. It could well be that the universe did begin to exist. In fact, I would suggest that Bunge's information here is somewhat dated, because what he's thinking about here is models of the universe in which our expanding universe originates out of the quantum vacuum as some sort of a fluctuation of the energy locked up in empty space. But the problem is that inflation theorists like Alan Guth and others have recognized that this quantum vacuum cannot be eternal in the past. It itself must have begun to exist. Inflationary cosmology cannot be past eternal. Inflationary cosmology can be future eternal. It can go on forever, but it can't be past eternal. So even if you say that our observable universe originated out of such a quantum state, that quantum state itself cannot be eternal in the past, but must have had a beginning, and therefore, in fact, he hasn't succeeded in answering the question that is put to the naturalist. Doesn't the evidence of contemporary astrophysics and cosmology give grounds for believing that the universe is not temporally infinite in the past?
Do you think he has sufficiently highlighted the three major explanations of the Big Bang?
Well, it would seem to me that those would be basically the alternatives, although what theory you enunciate under number three is going to vary wildly. I suppose another possible alternative, though I think ultimately it's incoherent, would be that the universe created itself. That's what Daniel Dennett thinks, that the universe, via the ultimate bootstrapping trick, brought itself into existence. Or I suppose another possibility, as long as we're just talking possibilities, would be to say the universe popped into being uncaused out of nothing. But that would violate Lucretius' principle, ex nihilo nihil fit. So Bunge wouldn't be open to that. So I think he's listing here what he would see. Well, I was going to say what he would see as the three credible possibilities, but he doesn't think the first one is credible.
Because it violates his naturalism.
Right, because it's non-naturalistic. But at least to his credit, he includes it in the list. And I think the weakness of his reason for rejecting it is quite apparent.
I hear all the time that the fear of those in the scientific enterprise is that if you allow a divine foot in the door, if you allow for God in theology, something that Bunge is complaining about here, that it opens the door to irrational explanations. When the mushroom puts out certain spores, it will, in the morning, create a circle of mushrooms called fairy rings. And the fear seems to be, Bill, that if you start allowing any kind of a supernatural explanation, well, then in science class, you can say, hey, one possibility is that fairies did indeed cause these rings of mushrooms, rather than the fact that we've observed that the spores shoot out that way in a circular way, and that's what causes it. So, well, in one sense, it's comparing God and fairies, which is a problem. But do you see the anxiety that why they don't want to?
Oh, sure. I understand it. They're saying that science needs to adopt a sort of methodological naturalism in order to prevent these boojums and other spooks from getting into science. And I think it's really important to understand, Kevin, that I'm not advocating some sort of theistic science. I'm not advocating creation science here of any sort. I'm not saying that we should introduce supernatural explanations into science. I'm offering a philosophical argument for the existence of God, and it's quite consistent with having methodological naturalism within science. What I would just say then is what Robert Jastrow said in his book, God and the Astronomers, that science conducts us to the threshold of eternity to the beginning of the universe, and then science is impotent to answer the question as to why the universe came into being. That's a non-scientific question. That's then a metaphysical question, not a physical question.
Then philosophy takes over.
Right. It's metaphysics, not physics.
Yeah.
So I'm quite happy to say, fine, adopt methodological naturalism in science. I'm not proposing any kind of theistic science. I'm not proposing an alternative to the Big Bang theory, some kind of theistic Big Bang, not at all. I'm just suggesting that the evidence of contemporary cosmology supports the truth of the second premise of the Kalam argument, that the universe began to exist.
Mm-hmm.
That's a religiously neutral statement which can be found in any textbook on astronomy and astrophysics and has nothing to do with God or theism. So I'm not suggesting that we adopt theistic science or creation science. I'm not suggesting that we postulate God as an entity in a scientific theory at all. I'm doing metaphysics, not physics. So I think that that concern is simply not germane to my argument. Now, beyond that, I think we could well call into question why methodological naturalism does need to be adopted. Why not allow supernatural explanations into the pool of live explanatory options? They would be assessed by the same criteria that other explanations are assessed, such as plausibility, explanatory power, explanatory scope, and so forth. And I'd be quite willing to allow that if you have a naturalistic theory and a supernaturalistic theory, and they have the same explanatory power, the same explanatory scope, the same plausibility, that we ought to prefer the naturalistic theory rather than opt for the supernaturalistic one. It would only be in the case that the supernaturalistic hypothesis exceeds the naturalistic hypotheses in either explanatory scope or explanatory power or degree of ad hocness or being free from being ad hoc, that then one would adopt the supernatural explanation over the naturalistic one.
So would everyone be a lot happier on both sides of the raging controversy if we just adopted a methodological naturalism?
Well, I don't know if people on both sides would be happy, but certainly the naturalists would be happier about that. I hope they would anyway, because one would be meeting them halfway. One would say, I don't agree with metaphysical naturalism, but I am not in any way trying to introduce a theistic science. I am just saying that the best scientific evidence we have supports the premise that the universe began to exist.
This is very important, what you're saying. Because it's just such a bone of contention.
Yeah, this completely gets rid of these silly God of the gaps objections.
Yeah.
Because you're not postulating God to fill up some explanatory gap in science.
So if educators in America said we should adopt methodological naturalism as a tool, you wouldn't have any problem with that.
Well, I wouldn't say I wouldn't have any problem with it, Kevin. As I said, I think that you can defend the notion of having supernaturalistic explanations as part of the pool of live explanatory options. I don't see any good reason to adopt methodological naturalism. But I'm just saying that if you do, it has no impact upon the argument that I'm offering.
What would you call your methodology then? Would you call it wherever the evidence points methodology?
Well, no, I'm just doing metaphysics is all.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not proposing theistic science. I'm just doing metaphysics. I'm offering a philosophical argument for God's existence, the second premise of which has considerable empirical evidence in its favor. As I said, in a science class, one wouldn't say anything about God if one is using methodological naturalism.
Mm-hmm.
You would just come to the end of science and say that this is where science conducts us, but no farther. Now, where the naturalistic scientist can push the envelope further is what Bunge tries to do in option three. He can say, wait a minute. Here are some naturalistic theories that will push the threshold of science further back. We can postulate this quantum mechanical vacuum state out of which our universe emerged, and that will provide a purely naturalistic explanation of the origin of the universe. And at that point, someone who's taking the line that I'm taking will need to deal with that as a defeater, a potential defeater of the second premise that the universe began to exist. And he will examine what science tells us about this vacuum state And what he'll discover is that it's unstable, that it cannot perdure for infinite time, and that therefore even this state must have a beginning. And he'll suddenly discover that the evidence supports, in fact, that second premise again, that the universe began to exist.